Does everyone know what time it is? It's time for 1313 Harbor, the podcast hosted by Jasmine and her friends.
Welcome to 1313 Harbor, the podcast, where two adult daughters are about to become the millennials' answer to Siskel and Ebert. I'm Jasmine, and I'm here with a very sexy special guest.
Well, yes. Hello, I am Jenny Ray.
Hello. Jennifer Ray. One time I asked you
Jennifer
what your middle
Raymond.
Name was.
Or Raymond.
I remember because I, for some reason, I thought your first name was Jenny Ray. So I was like, what's your middle name? And you're like, Ray.
Raymond. Well, a lot of people, when I meet them and I say, hi, I'm Jenny Ray, then they like say their full name. I'm like, Okay, we'll go with that. I don't know. Because like, then they think Ray's my last name. I mean, very Jenny formal.
I'm Jenny Ray and I'm a ray of sunshine. Nice to meet you.
Hey there. What's going on?
So this week we're going to do a little departure from theme parks, but still staying in the Disney theme. Top 10 live action Disney movies from 1960 to 2000. So we are big aficionados of Disney films, especially from our childhood, like the 90s.
That is 9 out of 10 of mine.
Mine are, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 not from the 90s. So it's half and half.
Oh, okay. I thought you would have more from like the 60s, but okay.
Yeah, no, I'm surprised I didn't. There was a few. If we had done like 15, there would have been a lot more. But like, I'm
for
like,
sure.
If there's 10, it has to be certain ones. And I'm sure I'll regret it later. But, you know, got to commit at one point.
Yeah, all of mine, I was alive when they were made. So.
I was alive because I am 100 years old. So all films must have been released theatrically because we had talked about this. Like, do we include DCOMs? But we're like, no, we'll just do theatrically released films. And then there's no particular order. These are our top 10 favorite Walt. It had to be released under Walt Disney Pictures banner. Live action that had to be released from 1960 to 2000. And they are in no particular order.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably have a lot of the same. Interesting fact I learned when I was researching, and I just wanted to start out with this. David Lynch directed a Disney movie called The Straight Story. I didn't know The Straight Story was a Disney movie. It was released under the Disney banner.
Really?
Yes. And it's like about
a
man.
Really weird?
You know, it's not weird. It's like a really normal. It's a strangely normal story. It's about this guy who it's.
David Lynch did something normal. That's what you're telling
yes.
me?
Yes. I don't know. I haven't seen it, so I don't know how normal it is. It's a movie and it stars the guy who played Matthew Cuthbert, Richard Farnsworth in the Anne of Green Gables from like the 80s.
Okay.
With Megan Follows. And he like. Plays a guy who like travels on a tractor. I don't even really know what it's about, but it's like just a very like, I live in the country and like I'm learning about myself and you're never too old to learn. I don't know, but it seems like a normal movie. So I'm very confused.
I like how you're saying this. Like one person who's listening has seen it and they're like, it is not normal
yes.
at all.
There's a 20 minute dream sequence where everyone talks backwards. So yeah, if you don't know who David Lynch is, he is the creator of Twin Peaks, one of the creators, Eraserhead. He's known for being a very surrealistic director.
I've never done drugs, but I think that's what it feels like
watching a David Lynch movie. No, it's like they're very, it's very dreamlike. His movies are very like cerebral and I don't even think he knows what they mean. I think he just puts things together. Like, you know how sometimes thoughts come into your head? And they don't make sense. I think that's just what
obviously.
He does. He just writes them down.
Right.
He's like, what if like everyone walked backwards and they lived in a room? So let's get to our top 10. So why don't you get us started, Jennifer Ray Gibson?
Okay. Sorry if my notes get like really loud. I'm ready. Okay. I want to say this is on your list.
Probably.
Potentially. Flight of the Navigator.
I've actually never seen Flight of the Navigator.
Jasmine!
I know Paul Rubens has the voice. I've never seen it, though.
Oh, my. I wish all of you could see my face. I am horrified.
If you've seen
horrified.
That picture, The Scream, Jenny looks like that picture right now.
Oh, my face stayed like that. Okay, so this was made in 1986. Well, now I can't even have a conversation with you about it, but
I am familiar with it, yeah.
Okay, but yeah, so Pee-wee, he is the voice of Max, and that's like the thing that controls the spaceship. And so if you haven't seen it, it's a movie about this guy. Yes, I'm reading off my notes.
Yes. That's why I do 90% of the time.
It's about a boy named David. And basically, he was taken in like a UFO type thing. He was found 8 years later, but he was the same age. And his younger brother was like older than him once he like came to and went.
It's like Endgame. Aren't I? Yeah.
There's
spoilers.
No, but what I love, oh my God, Jasmine, I wish that you've seen this. So what
I will
love,
watch it today.
Okay. I mean, it's on Disney Plus.
Yes, I have no excuse.
What I love is Paul Rubens. He actually just has like a very deep non-peewee voice, but then halfway through he's like, ah, 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 and then he just like, it like the voice starts going higher and then it's just full on peewee the rest of the time.
I've actually seen clips and there's one where he's like, you don't know your head from a 7-Eleven, and he sounds, or something, I forget what he says, but it sounds very peewee-esque.
I mean, it's definitely one of those movies where like, I always tell people this, a lot of my favorite movies growing up, if you watch it for the first time as an adult, you will hate it. You'll be like, this is the dumbest scene I've ever seen, but it is my childhood. And Sarah Jessica Parker is in it. Like, it's one of her, oh wait, no, I had it. I know it wasn't like one of her first things, but it was her first feature film debut.
Oh, because she was a Broadway actress before.
Was she?
Yeah, she was a child actor. Yeah. Okay. But she did Broadway.
Oh, Broadway. Oh,
she was Annie in Annie.
Oh, okay. Yes. See, I didn't know that. But the ship in the movie, every time I see Anaheim Convention Center, there's like a part of the center that I was like, it's the ship from Flight of the Navigator. I don't know why. It always reminds me of that. And then the guy who played David, Joey Kramer, he's done a lot of prison time since then. But
oh. I thought you were going to say he was like on Prison Break. He's done time in actual prison.
Yes. So that is Flight of the Navigator.
Joey Kramer, if you'd like to come on and talk about your experiences, please email. Do you want to know a fun fact about one of the props from the movie?
Yeah.
And also listen to the lawnmower in the background. I apologize to everybody. So in Disney World, in Magic Kingdom, if you, on top of one of these shops in Tomorrowland, or like a kiosk, I don't know if it's still there. It was theirs of a few years ago. They have one of the ships from Flight of the Navigator painted silver, and it's used like as a prop, just
really
on top of a building, like a spaceship looking prop. They used to also have it as a part of the tour in Hollywood Studios.
That's fun. Oh, wait, I have a fun fact. Months later, after the movie came out, that's when Star Tours opened. And then, of course, Paul Rubens was the voice of Rex. So he has flown multiple ships, you know.
I wonder if like he was under contract and they just like kind of scoot. Sometimes they'll do that where like they add like a weird thing. Like they do that with the Marvel actors, like to their contract. So it's like you're getting paid for the movie, but you have to do like all the video game work for free, basically. Mm-hmm. So they're like, Pee-wee, we need you to do this, this, and this. He's like, my name is Paul. Pee-wee. I remember as a kid learning about Peter Paul Rubens, the artist, and being like, it's Pee-wee. It's Pee-wee. Are you ready to hear my first pick?
No.
Okay.
Now I'm ready.
Okay. Like, nope. No.
Yep.
My first pick is D2, the Mighty Ducks.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew Mighty Ducks was going to be somewhere on your list.
But you didn't know if I was going to pick one, two, or three.
No, I knew it was going to be two. I don't know why. When I was going through the list, I'm like, Jasmine's going to pick this one. I won't, because I always say, like, I cannot remember most of the movie, but Jasmine's going to pick it.
It is the best of the trilogy, in my opinion, because the first one is very much about, like, Gordon Bombay, and it's, like, probably – in terms of like a film, is probably the best made of the three. Like, mm-hmm. It actually has like a story. And as an adult, I probably enjoy it more. But as a kid, I loved D2. I had such a crush on the guy who was the Texas guy.
You would. And
I know. Yeah, he smelled like money. So. I always, I remember you and I, in a bonus episode, you and I and Allison were trying to figure out which characters we were. I thought I was Goldberg, but I was actually Aberman, and I think that's more correct. That's what Allison
said. You
said
I was Gordon Bombay because I couldn't remember the movie.
You're Gordon Bombay because you are a lawyer alcoholic who has to teach a Pee Wee kids team. So Mighty Ducks 2, the plot is, so I don't think you have to have seen the first film. So there's this kids Pee Wee hockey team. They won the Minnesota championship. They're not like the best of the world or anything. And they're chosen as Team USA to play in the Goodwill like Junior Olympics. And it's in Los Angeles. And they obviously add other players, and it's about like the new members and the old members not getting along. And like Gordon Bombay goes to Hollywood and it gets to his head and he forgets what he's really there for. And he falls in love. And they're like, the bad guys are Iceland. So they're all like tall white guys. So very topical. And the guy who is the bad guy, I think his name is the dentist. Like his nickname. It's really good. I think they like mentioned the Anaheim Mighty Ducks, and they're in the movie. They're like, oh, they even named a professional team after us. And I was like, that is true.
See, now I kind of remember the first, obviously, and I kind of remember the second, but I do not. I can't for the life of me remember what D3 is about.
It's they get a scholarship to this really prestigious high school, the like main kids, and then to be the hockey team. But then the kids who are there don't like them because they're rich and they don't like the poor kids. So
that's okay. It's all coming back to me now.
See, the first one is like all about Gordon Bombay and like a little bit about like he has a relationship with Charlie, the main boy character's mom, Charlie. But like that never pans out. That literally is the first movie and then it ends. And then she marries somebody else, I guess. The second movie is good because it's a perfect mixture of the kids, but also like Gordon Bombay. And then the third one's just about the kids. And Charlie is so angsty. It's too angsty. It's too like, I'm 14 and I hate everybody. And girls. We need to figure out which Mighty Duck character you are.
I'm sure there's a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yes, we have to find it. Because, yeah, you're obviously not Gordon Bombay. I thought Aberman, that was genius. I would have never thought about that. But I'm like, yep, Allison is correct. And she's Charlie. Or I would have said I was the rich kid, Banks. Mm-hmm. That's kind of has no personality. So comment below, who should Jenny Ray be?
Ooh, I'm curious.
So what is your next cinematic masterpiece?
All right, this has to be on your list. Hocus Pocus.
Yes, it is.
Okay. I thought you were going to be like, it is not.
What if I was like, I haven't seen it.
Jasmine, I can't be your friend anymore.
I lied and said I'd seen it because I wanted to be cool. No, I love that. That's on my list.
Yeah, so it was directed by Kenny Ortega, which later obviously, well, I mean, he did the Newsies, but then also High School Musical.
What? Yeah, he's a choreographer.
Yeah. But he directed Hocus Pocus. I just love that movie because I call boobs yabos. Like, that is where. I love that they just had a random name like yabos.
Has there ever been a mention of a virgin so much in any movie, let alone a Disney movie?
You know what's crazy, too? When I first watched it, when it came out, I didn't know what a virgin was. So I'm like, what's the big deal?
Like, I mean, it's so sad, too, because the kid's, what, like 15, maybe? And they're like, all like, oh, he's a virgin. And he's so embarrassed. I'm like, how packed were the 90s that this poor boy feels so much pressure?
I know.
He's
like
a child.
Like the guy who was a fake cop for Halloween.
Oh. Yeah. Oh my god, this is a very progressive high school, I guess. I love what is it, ice, and then like,
yes,
is that in his hair?
Ice.
It's such a good movie, and it's 90s, but it's also like timeless in some ways.
It's such, I mean, I can watch that movie at any time, but obviously like it's one of my favorite Halloween movies to watch. It's my favorite movie with Sarah Jessica Parker because I don't think she's ugly, but I feel like she looks great like a witch. Like I feel like that is Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's perfect. Yeah, it's a really good role for her.
Yes.
And Bette Midler, like the perfect Bette Midler role.
Oh, I know. I know they keep talking about a sequel and they go back and forth with that. I wonder what the new news is, because then now wasn't it just going to be a DCOM?
Because there is a second book.
Also, the name Thackeray Oh my God, just saying that bothers me.
Yeah.
I just feel like I have a lisp. Zachary Binks. Like,
because for years I thought it was Zachary.
I know, Binks. I did too. And I just thought, like, oh, they're saying it was with a lisp. Like,
yeah, with the New England accent.
Yeah. Yeah, but the name Zachary. Oh, but I thought he was hot. I also find it funny, like, when he's a cat, I can't not see Max Goof. Because it's the same voice. James Marsden. Is it? No, not James Marsden. Jason. Jason Marsden, yeah. That's right.
Which I always got them confused, and I was always like, he changed, because I thought James Marsden was he was in the Charcoal Sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, Almost Home, that one. Mm-hmm. which, why isn't, or the Charcoal Sense, that's Disney, right? Because I know it was on Disney Channel, but it's actually a Disney show, right? So why isn't it on Disney Plus?
I know. So there was the Torkelsons, and then remember, like, they moved to the city and lived with, like, a rich family? And then that's when Jason Marsden
and Brittany
was on
Murphy.
It. Yeah, she was. I forgot she was in it.
Yeah, she was the girl.
Yes.
And then they mysteriously, like, didn't have some of their kids.
Yeah, she just left some of the kids behind in Torkelson land. Man in the Moon.
Oh my God. Oh, Billy. Wait, was his name Billy? I keep saying it as if that's what it is. That was the neighbor's name, right? Billy?
I think so. I can't remember. I just remember Man in
the
Moon.
Oh, dang. One of my nicknames was Jenny Ray Torkelson. Or just Torkelson. The actor who plays Max. I also loved his show Erie, Indiana. Did you ever watch it?
No, but I've heard of it. He's one that, like, he always pops up on, like, Where Are They Now list.
Omri Katz, is that his name?
Yeah, I think I could be making this up. I heard rumor that Leonardo DiCaprio auditioned for that part.
In Erie, Indiana?
No, not in Hocus Pocus.
Oh, I was going to say, wow.
Oh, that's interesting. No, for Hocus Pocus.
okay.
I also love that Kathy Najimy is in it because no one ever asked me to be a part of cosplay groups, except I've been asked like 4 times to be Kathy Najimy's character, Mary, in
I've been asked to be her too, and it gives me such body image issues. I'm like, look, more power to her, but I'm like, I didn't realize I looked that way to people to play Mary.
I think it's just more your hair.
There's wigs. I don't.
Yes, true. No, like, I think
I can make faces.
If someone's above a size 6, they're like, oh, you could be that. Like, it's obviously like whoever's the youngest, sexiest blonde is, what's Sarah Jessica Parker's character's name?
Now you're putting me on the spot. Why am I blanking?
But yeah, sexy witch. And then Bette Midler is usually whoever's putting the group together is Bette
Sarah.
Midler.
Sarah, no, yeah. That's not, her name.
whoever is putting the group together is always Bette Midler. So that runs the gamut. I actually love a Bette Midler who is in drag. So like a man dressing as Bette Midler.
Absolutely.
I love that. But like all sorts. And then usually whoever, like, you're comfortable asking your plus size friend to be. But I always like that because I was like, finally, like, never am I asked. I have so many costumes and nobody ever, like, very rare. I only get to ask to be Ursula or that. So, my number two is also Hocus Pocus. So
beautiful.
My next. So would it be my next? Because we both, or is it your next?
I mean, yeah, no, you go next because I have the same as yours. I'll just say yes.
I doubt this is on your list. Pollyanna.
I knew. Why did I know? I'm so psychic today.
You are. I love Pollyanna so much. It is such a good movie. I think it was Walt Disney's favorite live action movie he ever did.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. Like, he loved Mary Poppins. He loved the music a lot. But Pollyanna, he loved, and he loved working with Hayley Mills.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is that movie's very reflective of Walt Disney's values of, like, small town, 1900s. Like, it's very nostalgic. I feel for him.
Yeah.
And Walt Disney, like, if anyone loved nostalgia, it was Walt Disney.
Right.
So Pollyanna is about, I believe it's based off a book, a young girl, probably like 12, who is orphaned, and she grew up poor, and like her parents were missionaries, and she's sent to live with her rich aunt, who's like the matriarch of a town. The town is called Harringtonville, and that's their last name is Harrington. And basically she's like a crotchety old maid at 30 and she's played by the aunt Polly's played by Jane Wyman, who is Ronald Reagan's first wife. Fun fact. And they were married way before he was president. It's basically about Pollyanna is like a very happy, optimistic girl like me, but people don't like that like me. And she's trying to make the town happy. And there's one, and she has like, she makes friends with like an orphan and like the crotchety old lady. Just a lot of crotchety old people. There's the crotchety old man. There's the crotchety old lady. There's her aunt who's, you know, a crotchety old lady at 30 who falls in love with a handsome doctor. There's like the young maid who wants to get married to this guy. But like for some reason, Aunt Polly is like, nope, you can't date anybody. But my favorite scene in the whole movie is at the, this is not a spoiler, at the end, there's like a fair. And Pollyanna goes, and there's like lots of food, and I really like that part.
Of course,
she gets like a giant slice of cake that looked so good. She gets like watermelon. She gets corn on the cob, and I love corn on the cob. And then she like the whole movie. She wants okay. This is a spoiler. The whole movie she wants a doll. Like she's never had a doll, and she and her Aunt Polly like doesn't care about frivolous things, so she doesn't get her one. And there's like a part where the kids like have to throw a fishing reel. It's like a carnival game and they get a prize and she gets a doll. And I love that part so much. And one of the crotchety old ladies who's nice now is the one who tells them to give her a doll, played by Agnes Moorehead, who was probably like 35, like 40. She was not that old. it's just such a you've seen Pollyanna, right?
Oh, yeah, I've seen it. And the way you talk about it, too, it reminds me. Sorry, I'm going to go into something else really quick. But did you ever watch Anne of Avonlea on Disney Channel? Yeah. Was that the same time period?
Kind of. So there's it was just called Avonlea because that's the TV series.
That's right. Avonlea. OK, I don't know why. OK, yes.
Well, because there is the movie Anne of Avonlea.
OK, but yes, I meant the TV show.
Because I don't even think Anne is in it or she's like in it for a little bit. And then it's about this like blonde girl.
Right.
I just remember. Yeah, I think it's a similar time period because Anna Green Gables was like 1910 and Pollyanna was probably, like around 1905. Mm-hmm. So roughly the same time period. And they all have cake and it's so good. And then there's Jimmy Bean, who is played by, I believe that little boy is a Disney legend as well. And I can't remember. He doesn't do acting anymore. And it's funny because like when you think of people in those movies, you're like, oh, they're all dead. But like the kids, you know, they're older, but like. They're still around, so
that's great. It's like great. Good job.
And I love Haley Mills. I love her so much. I could watch her do anything. She's a great actress. I love her sister, Juliette Mills. I love the whole Mills family. Just great. Walt Disney approved. If you're a real Disney fan, you'll watch Pollyanna.
Wow.
Because it was Walt Disney's favorite.
Was it the third Parent Trap where Haley Mills was like an aunt?
Yeah. Something. So the second one, she plays twins and then one of the twins has twins and then like they get her and her ex-husband back together, I think. And then in the third one, somebody has triplets. And I don't remember the story of that. But yeah, she's in all three of them.
Because I remember one was like on a vacation or was it a family reunion or something? I don't remember.
I think that's the second one. I just remember the third one has triplets because it's like, ooh, it's three. So what's your next thing on your list?
Woo-hoo, Cool Runnings.
Cool Runnings.
Oh my God. Okay. So I,
based on a true story.
Well, okay. So here's the thing. It's mostly made up, even though it's based on a true story. I was looking up some fun facts. Funny enough, Disney actually wanted, he told, I don't know if it was the director, whoever, he won, or no, not he, Walt Disney wasn't alive.
Yeah.
Disney, the company.
Walt Disney didn't make Cool Runnings. It was his favorite movies. He loved Cool Runnings.
The nostalgia. But he wanted a Sebastian the Crab Jamaican accent. So he wanted people to be able to understand it enough and not do like an actual Jamaican accent. So he was like, I want everyone to sound like Sebastian the Crab.
fair representation of Jamaica.
Right. Also, there was a, I don't know if I can say this word on this podcast, but I'll just say dirty. There was a dirty scene from Senka. It was cut out because it involved a Scandinavian ski bunny or multiple, but
a sexual scene.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. So Cool Runnings is about the Jamaican. So, like, obviously there's no snow in Jamaica. So it's about the Jamaican bobsled team. Yeah. And, like, do they go to the Olympics? I don't remember.
Yes.
Okay.
No. Yes. Because that's, like, that's where they crash, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just about, like, you know, it's like, oh, there's no snow in Jamaica, but they, like, really want to do it. And it was very, like, a very cultural touchstone. Like, it was very, like, it was in the zeitgeist. Like, people talked about it.
Yeah. Well, it was such a
unique concept.
Because of, like, the actual crash from the Jamaican team, they didn't film that portion of it for the movie. They just, like, showed the actual footage.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's what the internet told me.
I mean, I believe it. I have no doubt.
I mean, does that say something about me that 9 out of 10 of my movies are in the 90s, my top 10?
No, that just is what you grew up with.
Right.
Okay. Oh, so do you want to know my next movie?
Yes.
Spoiler. We have mentioned it. It's The Parent Trap. The original Parent Trap. The 1960, I think it's like 2 or 3 Parent Trap with Hayley Mills. Mm-hmm. The Lindsay Lohan one's great. I enjoy it. I just like the Hayley Mills one better.
That's fine. I mean, you can both exist and you can like one over the other. And both are valid. Judge you.
My best is when people are like, oh, I hate the old one. I like the new one better. But they haven't even seen the original one. How can you say one is better if you haven't seen both of them?
You know what's crazy is I feel like for both movies, it always seems like it's going to kind of end, but then it's like, oh, they still need to do the whole, like, camping bit and all that. It always is like, oh, it's still going.
Well, so yeah, so the movie is about these two girls who go to a summer camp, and they see another girl who looks just like them, and they just think it's like a coincidence, like, oh, this girl just looks like me. They find out in the first act they're actually sisters and that their parents divorced.
Sisters.
Their parents divorced and that they each took one. I don't know how this, no one would let this happen in real life. It's based actually off of a German short story, Parent Trap. And they switch places so they can meet the other parent. And one's like, in this version of The Parent Trap, one is like a Boston lady and then one is from California. And then in the Lindsay Lohan one, they move it to London, I guess, because they wanted to make it even more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I always felt bad for the one twin because one twin did nothing and the other had to pierce her ears and cut her hair. Actually, no, she didn't pierce her. She had to cut her hair. In the Lindsay Lohan one, she had to do both. But in the Hayley Mills one, she just had to cut her hair. There's a scene where they're playing pranks on each other because they hate each other. And one cuts out the back of the other one's dress so her butt, her underwear shows during the dance. I like this one a little better because obviously I love Hayley Mills and I think the story of the parents is a little better. Like they focus more attention on that. So mm-hmm. It's more of a family film as opposed to a kid's film.
Okay. Well, since we're talking about this, let me just go into mine and then we can talk more. So mine is The Parent Trap, Lindsay Lohan version.
All parent traps are valid here.
No, I just love Meredith Blake. I think she, as an actress, and she still is, she's gorgeous.
Yes.
And she actually just reposted something that Christina Aguilera posted on her, I think Twitter. It was very like Meredith Blake-ish where she had this floppy hat. She was in the pool holding wine. And then, wait, what did she say? She said, hey girl, which vineyard you at?
I will say, I think I like Meredith better than Vicky. So Vicky is it's the same character. And actually the actress who plays Vicky plays Meredith's mother in the Parent Trap sequel, in the 90s one.
I'm Aunt Vicky.
Yeah.
You can call me Aunt Vicky. Is that the, I don't know. I'm so bad Aunt at quoting Vicky.
I think Meredith is a better villain than Vicky is because I think they also give her a little more time. And they turn up the sex appeal a little bit more with Meredith. And, you know, because it was a 60s kids movie. So they're not going to, like, make Vicky, like, va-va-boom.
But in the 90s.
Ooh, yeah. And I also like she's 26, which I used to think was so old. And now I'm like, she's a child.
I know. Oh, my God. 10 years younger than me? Wow.
And now, Dennis Quaid, does he have a wife that's like 25 right now? I forget.
Oh my, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
But in the Lindsay Lohan version, so it's Hallie and Annie. Those are their names. Yeah. between her and like Hillary Duff, they are not. Okay, well, Lindsay Lohan is definitely like a better actress than Hillary Duff. But I don't know why they're like older movies. I just love so much. And and they're like corny and amazing.
Yep.
I love that like Lindsay Lohan is not the best actress in this. And like the accent, I'm just like, woof. But
actually, Halle. Wait, that was too good.
I know. But also Natasha Richardson.
Yes. Oh, she's so like beautiful and so talented and like very understated. And I like that character. So in the 60s version, the mom is just a rich lady. She doesn't have a job. And then the dad, he owns a vineyard. So the dad character stays the same in both. But then I do like that they gave her like a career and she's like in the 90s one. And she's like a famous fashion, like wedding designer.
I thought it was so cool to put like the top hat with the veil.
Yes. So like, edgy.
Yes. Cutting edge. I also remember on Disney Channel when they would show like little sneak peeks of movies. And I loved how they would show like how they got Lindsay Lohan to be double and stuff like that.
Don't reach over to the other side of the screen. Yeah, I remember like out of all the like, because when we were younger, there was a lot of actresses. They're all my age, which is really weird. Like they're all born the same year as me, except a few of them are like a year or two younger that were like the like it actresses and none of them could act. And Lindsay Lohan was considered the best of the bunch. And even she's not like a great actress, but right. And also no kid actor is that good. Like it's real. If you're a kid actor who can act, you're famous. Because it's just so rare. Like, you know, Shirley Temple could act, so she was famous. Haley Joel Osment could act, so he was famous. Like, the kids from Stranger Things are famous because they can act. And plus they're teenagers. They're not like little kids.
Well, and I feel like they didn't go to like the Disney acting school where the kids just yell. They just yell to like get things out more. It's like, I'm acting. I'm talking real loud.
There's a SNL sketch and it's called like Nickelodeon or Disney acting school. And they just, and I think Miley Cyrus is in it. And they just make fun of that the whole time. It's like how to enter a room. Whoa. And you like slip back. I really do. I love both versions of The Parent Trap. One would have ended up on my list, but I just love, and maybe I just love it the same reason I love Main Street Electrical Parade, because people don't give it enough attention.
Right.
So I love, but I just, I love Hayley Mills. I love The Parent Trap. They're very similar plots. If you've seen one, you've seen them both. Very little changes. I recommend to see both of them because they're both good.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sure most people have seen the 90s one, but like give the 60s one a shot too. Let's get together. Agree. And yeah, they have the grandpa character in both of them. And they like literally the plots are exactly the same. Like they're at camp, they switch places, they go to California, they go on a camping trip, and then the parents fall in love. But I can't remember in the Lindsay Lohan one if they have the scene of the parents like rekindling their romance, because that's in the parent trap, the 60s one.
I mean, I'm pretty sure the scene that I'm thinking of, it's like different, but the same.
Yeah, because in the Hayley Mills one, they get back from the camping trip and they like have dinner together and they kind of reconnect. And obviously things happen.
What?
Wink, wink. Oh, and there's like a priest who like in the 60s one who loves that like there's like drama and he like likes a nice drink and I love him and I want to be friends with him. He likes the mom and he like winks at her at the wedding. It's very funny. Shall we move on to our next choices?
Let's do it. I guess it's you since I already kind of went into mine.
We have so many like complimentary choices.
We really do. My next one won't be complimentary to you whatsoever, but
oh, good.
You can go.
What if it is?
This I don't know.
I think has to be on your list. I would be shocked if it wasn't.
Well, I already like, let's save the main like one that we know is going to be on the same list. We'll save that for last.
There's a few, I think, but there's one I know for sure. Okay. Yes. I'll go down the list a little bit. I'm going to go from the bottom up then. Muppet Christmas Carol.
Okay, so I have something that's complimentary, but you go into that first. Or do you want me to just talk about
I'm guessing it's Muppet Treasure Island.
Yes.
Yes, because you love Jim Curry. Let's talk about both of them, the Muppets.
Let's do it.
The Muppet section of the show. I love Muppet Christmas Carol. I love Michael Caine. I think it's one of his best performances. He said it's one of his favorite performances. So this was, I believe, the first movie to come out after Jim Henson's death, and his son directed it, and I think he did a really good job. It's very, a lot of people, that's how they know A Christmas Carol. Like, mm-hmm. there's been so many adaptations of it, but for our generation, and it's like a very like,
I mean, accurate. The Jim Carrey version is frightening.
Yes. And that we were older, I think, when that came out. Like, we
but
kids.
I was terrified. Oh, like, still, that's when I was working at Radio Disney and we went to go see a preview and I was so scared. I'm like, kids should be crying right now.
That's like the Polar Express time when they were doing like really realistic motion capture. And then they're like, scale it back. It's too much. Too real. It's too real. So it's basically, it's a story of a Muppet, of the Christmas Carol, but with Muppets. Kermit is Bob Cratchit. Piggy's his wife. Robin is his Tiny Tim. All the Muppets are the ghosts. Well, the Ghost of Christmas Past is like a puppet that they filmed in water and then they superimposed it over the other film. So it has this like cool like ghost feel. And then I still don't watch the end part with the Ghost of Christmas Future because it's scary. Very scary. Oh, Rizzo, the rat, and Gonzo plays Charles Dickens, and Rizzo's his sidekick named Rizzo. And there's like a part where like his tail catches on fire. It's just so funny. And my favorite part of the whole movie is like there's a part where they're singing, like, it's in the middle of the movie. Wherever you feel love, it feels like Christmas. And the horses, like, tails are wagging to the horse. And the horses are, like, prancing to the beat. Oh, it's so good. And their tails are swishing. It's so good. And they have, like, grotesque British-looking pigs, I remember at one point. The puppets are just so good. And then I love when Bunsen gives his scarf to Scrooge. It's just, like, a tiny little scarf. No, Beaker gives his scarf. Oh, and then there's that sad scene where Bean Bunny plays like the orphan boy, where you see him like sleeping outside in the newspapers and he's shivering and he's cold, and it made me so sad. And Scrooge is mean to him, and his employees just went off and they're all rats. But Michael Caine does like a legit Scrooge performance. Like, it's not like it's not Muppetized at all. It's very much like a good performance throughout.
Yeah,
I'm very,
sure.
Very proud of him. It's just a really good movie. And yeah, it's like for kids and it has like humor in it. But I think it's just like a good movie. And I think those are the movies that stand the test of time, are the ones that are just like, they're actually like make them as good as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And don't pander to like, oh, this is for kids, so we're going to put like stupid stuff in there.
Right.
I mean, there's some stupid stuff, but it's funny. So let's talk about Muppet Treasure Island.
Boom shakalaka.
Boom shakalaka. I sang that the other day. Miss Piggy in her greatest role.
Oh my god, spat.
He was a pirate, I was a lady.
I mean, Tim Curry, come on now. Yes. They always say that you can tell what kind of Tim Curry fan you are by like your top three Tim movies. Mm-hmm. So mine is obviously Muppet Treasure Island. And then we have The Worst Witch and Legend.
Mine is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I knew you would say that. but in Muppet Treasure Island, I love how the character, Jim Hawkins, mm-hmm. I thought he was a girl. I was so confused as
a
child.
And there's even a joke about that he looks like a girl.
I'm not a girl.
Muppet. Billabones.
Hey, Billy. Oh, we've got cabin fever.
That's another one where I'm shocked that they didn't make more of them. Because, like, they're so good. And, like, I would just like to see all the, like, Muppet Frankenstein, Muppet Wuthering
Heights.
Seriously,
though. Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, I remember Muppet. Oh, my God. What was it? For the Frog Prince. Did you ever watch that one? And, like, with Aunt Taminella.
So, yeah. Aunt Taminella.
Yeah. It's so, oh my God, I'm going to be awful for saying this, but like I was watching my 1,000 pound sisters on mm-hmm. TLC and like, they look like Aunt Taminella. And I just look at them.
Aunt Taminella.
Muppet Treasure Island is so good. I mean, Tim Curry is definitely doing like an over the top performance, but only the way that Tim Curry can.
Yes.
And it's what the role calls for, because that's Long John Silver. He's supposed to be very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Johnny Depp probably took, he copied this performance. So
Obviously.
Pirates of the Caribbean. it's definitely a little edgier than Muppet Christmas Carol overall, I would say, because, pirates are just implicitly violent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I for the most part, am like, I have a weird obsession with pirates and I don't know what it is. But like when I think of some of my favorite movies, they're like pirate themed. Like I grew up watching Pirates of Penzance with Kevin Kline. I just love Muppet Treasure Island. And then shortly after is when they started showing Muppets Tonight on ABC and then on Disney Channel. And I loved that show.
Yeah, I have recently watched the new Muppet show and I've only seen the first episode, but it feels a little weird. I don't like Muppets. No. I don't like Muppets after like 2000 Muppets. I don't like as much, which I think is around when Disney got them.
Well, see, I actually really loved the first movie that like they
came out. Oh, yeah, I did too.
Yeah, yeah. Like, so I really liked that. I didn't care for the sequel.
No.
But also, Jason Segel. Wait, that's his name, right? Jason. Why does that sound weird?
Yeah.
I mean, he was the one who like wanted to do the movie. Mm-hmm. And then when he wasn't even a part of the second, I'm like, it just lost that special touch to it.
Yeah, he was really like that movie felt a lot like the old school Muppets. They weren't so like cynical. It was very like, that's the problem is when the Muppets get too like savvy, they don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Muppets can't be cool. They have to be a little dorky, and those are the best Muppets. I also don't like, I miss the old Kermit the Frog voice, and I know there's like a whole thing that went on with the guy who was playing Kermit the Frog and they fired him and hired the new actor. I just can't. He does a fine job. I'm just so used to the old actor sounded so much like Jim Henson, and he worked with Jim Henson and he knew him, that it was a good transition. And that was the one we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And now the one now, I'm like, it sounds like someone doing an impression of Kermit. Like, yeah. I am Kermit the Frog. Like, that's what he sounds like.
You could do it.
Yeah, I am Kermit. Kermit. I'll do the whole show. Yeah, Muppets are just great. Muppet Treasure Island. Oh, I love the part. My favorite subplot is that Rizzo like makes a cruise for rats on the pirate ship. So like for adventure.
No, and they're like dancing.
Yeah. And there's like that part where it's like
they're making out.
Yep. They're trying to show the part, like they're trying to show a scene between like Jim and Long John Silver. And they're like showing some of the two rats
are like kissing.
Yeah. And he's like, I wanted to tell you how I felt. Like, oh, go watch it now. It's so good.
I love it.
Both are good. Like, I just pick Muppet Christmas Carol just because I think Christmas Carol better than like the subject matter more.
Well, see, and I'm okay with that. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Both are good. Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, you're wrong. It's just, I think it's just personal preference. Yeah. It's one of those where it's like, no, both are equally good. It's just like, what type of story do you like better?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, I'll watch both right now. And I also, yeah, I think that goes with, I like seeing like Kermit as Miss Piggy as an old married couple, not like as like, oh, we used to be in love, but we're not anymore.
Yeah.
And she cheated on him. I was a pirate. I was a lady. He was a pirate. Next. My next choice is another Kenny Ortega feature, The Newsies.
Okay. That's not on my list, but it's very good.
Yeah. Newsies is one I feel like was probably like, if we had done 20, you probably would have had Newsies on there.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have.
Because you like it a lot, but I love The Newsies. I really love the musical because... like I will admit, like I love the movie. I love the concept. And as a kid, I loved it because I'm like, oh, all these like cute boys. Like I always loved movies that had a lot of boys in it.
And they're around any.
And they're dancing and they're singing and they're doing choreography. And they're holding onto fans and spinning around, singing about New York. And the kid from Doogie Howser's on it.
Yes.
Playing the same character. But in the 1900s. I do like the musical more because they actually cast people who could sing and dance. Because Christian Bale's one of the best actors in the world.
Well, didn't he not know that there was a singing role when he auditioned?
I don't think so. Yeah. He cannot sing and cannot dance. Like, it's awful. And I think he was only 17 when he did that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The extras in that movie are very good singers and dancers. Not extras, but like the people who aren't the main characters.
Yeah.
And I think the guy who played David's a really good actor. They're just not singers and dancers. And I always thought the sister role was so weird. Because like it's just – she's just there literally to be eye candy for Jack. She has no character. And to sing that one line like, talk about seizing the day or whatever. Yeah, that's it. That's the end. I love like the setting. I love that it's in New York. It's a time period that doesn't get a ton of movies made about it because it's usually when they do that Victorian period, it's very like genteel and we're making ice cream and having a mint julep. And that's like, we live on the street and we're homeless and we dance like and we drink beer. And it's like a little naughty, like they talk about girls and smoking cigars and like they're like that like trope of like little children acting like old men. And yeah, my favorite character was probably, I loved the racetrack kid, like the one who was in Doogie Howser, that he cracks me up. They're all great. They're just classics. Jack Kelly's great, but he's probably the most boring out of all of them because he's just like, I'm awesome. I'm not who you think I am, wink.
I need to watch that again. I haven't watched it in a while, but I remember I used to watch it when I was a kid. And for some reason, like growing up, I couldn't remember like, what was that movie called? It was like
the boys news.
With newspapers. And
and it's also, it's based on a true story.
Yes.
Like a lot of the characters are amalgamations, but like basically pretty much everything happened. The only thing is in real life, it did not end happy. Like they just basically lost.
God.
The end. And like
I used to have Seize the Day as my alarm to wake up and I'd be like, yes.
The songs are so good. It's some of the catchiest songs in any musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all the supporting cast are great. I think they actually cast people who could sing and dance. So the group numbers are really good.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, they just get into fights. But yeah, if you're going to watch one version, watch the musical. But I love the movie as well. Highly recommend it. Jenny, what's your next?
Well, my next one is not complimentary whatsoever, and it only got a 9% on Rotten Tomatoes. It is Blank Check.
I love Blank Check. It's so good.
So can we just talk about, though, how Preston Waters, a.k.a. McIntosh, has, like, the most...
McIntosh.
The most awkward relationship with that older woman.
With an adult like, woman. And they go out on a date at the end, and, like, doesn't she kiss him?
Yes! And, like, she wanted to meet McIntosh, but somehow she, like, seems into this kid. And then they're playing in the fountains and stuff. And I'm like, this feels wrong. But as a kid, I thought it was fine. Like,
they're in love. So this movie, Blank Check, it's on Disney Plus. It's about this boy who he's riding his bicycle and he gets hit by this criminal guy who's, like, on his way to – he stole money or like somehow like I don't think he like stole it. I think it was like forgery or something. And he's on the way to like deliver the money somewhere. But so basically he hits the kid. He just gives the kid a check because he doesn't want the kid to like call the cops because he's doing something illegal.
And it it's a blank check.
So the kid decides to put the total in, which I didn't realize it was this easy to like
$1 million.
$1 million, which we're going to talk about after this. How
there's no way. There's no way all that stuff, including a mansion.
Even in the 90s, I don't think you could have done that.
No, a mansion and then some. Like a racetrack.
Was this in Iowa? Like,
wait, was there a racetrack in the back?
I don't know. They had a pool. They had a pool, the water slide.
Okay.
They did have a racetrack because they had the chubby butler.
Okay, because I was going to say, am I thinking of Richie Rich now?
Yeah, Richie Rich. That's another good one. But that's not at Disney, but that's right. I really like Richie Rich. And so then I guess he like goes to the bank and the banker is in on it and he's expecting somebody to come and collect the $1 million. And he's like, oh, that guy has finesse. He sent a kid. No one's going to suspect that. And then they basically spend the whole rest of the movie trying to find this kid who got $1 million cash. And let's go over some of the things he bought in 1995. A mansion.
94.
Not a big house. A mansion, which I think he bought for like $300,000.
He was going to throw a party. Like he threw a party.
Yeah, throw a party. Like how- he had a water slide. He had a butler. He had a race cart, like go-kart track. He had like a limousine. And then there's like FBI agents who are going after the bad guy. And so the kid pretends to be this guy named McIntosh. And like he like talks through, I think, a voice modulator to like make him sound older. And then this FBI agent kind of falls for McIntosh, but it's the kid. And this is an adult woman. And then like he takes her on a date. And then, like, but it's like, oh,
because she keeps thinking I'm going to meet McIntosh.
And basically, like, she finds out it's a kid, but then she's like, let's go on a date in like 5 years, which is so creepy.
Ew, no.
Never even jokingly tell a child you're going to go on a date with him one day. Just don't do it. It's gross.
Oh, my God.
It's a good movie.
What I love, though, is there's so many, like, awful reviews and just everything online about it. One person even said, if you loved Home Alone, you're still going to hate Blank Check.
Oh, my gosh.
I loved it. I'm sorry. But again, this is my childhood. If I watched it for the first time now, I would be like, are you crazy? This is awful.
Like, there's a lot of like those things that were great in kids 90 movies where it's montages of things you wish you could do. So like a montage of like he's buying all these things and they bought super soakers and they're running around the yard. A montage. He had a water slide that went from his bedroom down to the pool.
I wanted that so bad. I had that in like drawings of my house.
And like, do the parents are ever never like it? No, it's like the Back to the Future thing. Nobody questions this child is working for an adult. And it's just gone all the time. I know.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, this wouldn't have flown in the 90s, maybe in the 70s. That's a good choice. I applaud that choice.
Thank you. It's your turn.
So my next one is Tron. The original Tron.
Now, I was going to put that on my list, but I did not.
It's just enjoyable. I think the newer one might be a little more exciting just because it has like more visual flair. Because like
I love the newer one.
The newer one's really good. Oh, and I guess they're making a new one with Jared Leto, which I'm like, I'm not excited about that. But
is that actually happening? Because they've gone back and forth for so long. So
Jared Leto and the director announced it. So it's called Tron Ares, I think, which I don't get. How can you make a Tron movie without any of the original characters? Like, where did Jared Leto come from? Is he just like a new guy?
I mean, he's God, right? Like,
yeah. I was telling Allison, I'm like, I just can't get excited about a problematic white actor starring in a movie by a white male director. Like, it's just cool. Like,
man, I'm not excited anymore. See, like, I loved the newer one with like the Daft Punk music, and I just loved all the effects and everything. And that hurts my heart.
It's interesting they're going to make a new one because both movies were bombs. Like, both movies, the original Tron didn't do well and the sequel didn't do well. Mm-hmm. I think they just want to, like, justify the IP of putting it in the park. But
well, because they have the huge, like, roller coaster.
Yes.
So, they have two, like, of them. We have to make it, bigger.
What is such a cool aesthetic. But sorry, back to Tron. So, the original one, it's about a computer programmer who gets sucked in the computer world. So, Tron is the computer program he makes to fight and, like, protect his computer. It's like antivirus software, basically. But it's a really good movie. It's cutting edge. It's stylistically great. I love the Tron portion in the People Mover. I love that so much.
Yes. I also loved in prop culture how they showed some of the stuff from Tron.
Yeah, that was really cool. And it was like very cutting edge. It was very like a lot. Even though it didn't do well, it influenced movies for years in terms of like how like it was made and like the visualness of it. Visuality style. But yeah, I love Tron. I would definitely say see the original if you haven't seen it. It's a great movie. Jeff Bridges is always entertaining.
And it's on Disney Plus.
What is your next choice?
The Santa Claus.
That's on my list too.
Yay!
Okay, so Santa Claus, wiping that off. Let's talk about Santa Claus.
I saw that, like, the reason this movie is even more magical to me is because my grandparents, my cousin Richie, and I, we were in San Francisco for Thanksgiving time. Or I don't think it was like on Thanksgiving, but it was around then because when the movie came out, that was in November. But so we saw it at this really cool theater in San Francisco and it like just added to the magic of it. But, I mean, obviously the Santa Claus is a huge holiday classic movie.
How long did you think Santa Claus was spelled with an E at the end?
I still forget. Seriously,
I was today years old.
No, seriously, that movie messed all of us up because I will forever accidentally write it with an E and be like, wait, whoops, never mind. I even have it in my notes, Santa Claus, and I point to the E and it says, ruined me.
That's another movie I think I almost enjoy more as an adult because, like, it had a higher level of, like, pun humor. Like, I didn't know what a clause was when I was, like, came out.
Yeah, well, this is why I didn't understand why his, like, Santa Claus wasn't spelled that way. I just assumed because I didn't know what a clause was. Like,
but what were you going to say earlier? I interrupted you.
Oh, shoot. I don't know. I was just going to go into how much I love it. Well, no, because, like, Tim Allen, this was obviously, like, during Home Improvement, which I loved.
This was peak Tim Allen fame.
Yes. I already know that I did not have a crush on someone that you did. I wasn't like, yeah, Bernard.
Every woman or man, anyone who was attracted to men, and even some people who weren't, were in love with Bernard.
But see, Jenny. I wasn't. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was the braids. Like, wasn't his hair in like little braids? Like, I don't know. I was not attracted to Bernard.
He was just sassy. It was the confidence. It was the joie de vivre.
He just seems kind of like too cocky. I don't know.
Oh,
I
wasn't into that.
I just wanted to be like Judy and make hot chocolate.
Thanks, but I'm seeing someone in rapping. That is such a good movie. I love all of them. I love all three Santa Claus movies. Obviously, the first one's the best one.
Yeah.
But I love all three. I love the British guy who made the sled. Like, thanks, Santa. Like, yeah. Oh, you know who else I had a crush on when I was little? And this is very like 90s style, you know, like the
one of the elves.
Yeah. The one who like every boy in the 90s who was cool yes. had that like gruff, like as deep as a kid's voice.
That's
could get.
The one I liked, Jasmine.
Elves with attitude. Oh, but yeah, I probably had more of a crush on him than Bernard, but like everybody loved Bernard because, and then he just was like eating a sandwich at one point. So Santa Claus, I'm sure most of you have seen it. It's about this man who's divorced and he is like a workaholic and he works at a toy company and he's trying to like bond with his son more. And on Christmas Eve, his son stays over and Santa Claus falls off his roof because he startles him. And I guess he dies. They don't ever address that, but I'm guessing Santa just
died.
He's dead.
Yeah,
they had to bury the body somewhere. And then I guess because Tim Allen's character put on this, was it Chris Calvin? Because it's like
Scott
Santa
Calvin.
Claus. Scott Calvin. Because mm-hmm. it's like Chris Calvin. I was thinking of Chris Kringle. He puts on the suit. So whoever puts on the suit becomes the Santa Claus. And so it's like about, it's like a year in his life. And like he slowly like starts to transform into Santa. It's just such a good movie.
Can you imagine if they made a Santa Claus 4, but it's like, his son or whatever. Yes. And it's like, well, Tim Allen, you have to die. So
yeah, you have to fall off the roof and disappear. I love the part where Tim Allen's just sitting watching Charlie's soccer game. And this little girl comes up and sits on his lap and she's like, I'd like ballet slippers. Isn't there a part like a cookie comes out of the CD player? It's Cookie
yes.
Dispenser.
Oh my God, I wanted that so bad.
So bad.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, and then that song that when he lands in the North Pole.
I have that. I play it.
They play that at Disneyland every year. And that's a song that like I'm sure a lot of people. It makes me cry so much. I'm sure a song a lot of people hear and they don't know where it comes from. But it's like, it's very like heavily in the Disney rotation.
Oh, yeah.
I just love that all the elves are really like adults. And it's like, Judy, sorry, I'm seeing someone in rapping. but yeah, the elves, that's the best part. And they're sassy. And, you know, the elves with attitude. Oh, and I love when they go to Denny's and everything. Like, there's so many jokes I appreciate so much more as an adult. Like, going to Denny's and they're just out of everything.
Yes.
How about a glass of milk?
Plain milk's fine.
But yeah, watch all three Santa Claus movies. Okay, shall we move on to our next choice?
Let's do it. Okay, Man of the House.
Oh, JTT. Obvious. Is that JTT? Yes, it is. Chevy Chase.
Yes, Jasmine and Farrah Fawcett.
I forgot Beautiful. About that movie.
Oh my God, that was like the epitome of my sexual awakening. Like
JTT. Not young Simba.
No. Oh my gosh. Man of the House when JTT is crying. Oh my God. Like that scene. I'm just like, oh my God, I want to hug you. I'm going to love you.
He has that L's with attitude. Like that guy, like that vibe of like, I'm a cool
Oh, for sure. Well, he has.
Team.
Yeah. Yes. I made my papa take me to go see it in the theater. I will always, when I listen to Return to Innocence from Enigma, I'll be like, yes, this is the scene. This is the scene at the end where they get married. But it's like, I imagine me marrying Jonathan Taylor Thomas. And then everybody dance now when they do the rain dance. And I always used to do the rain dance like at the park. I'm like, yeah, I'm cool. I'm doing the rain dance.
That was kind of like Home Alone, but with a stepfather. So isn't that movie like there's a kid and his mom and the mom is dating Chevy Chase's character and they're going to get married and Jonathan Taylor Thomas is like, not on my watch, buddy. Yeah.
Yes. And then like they become part of, oh my God, what's the like group name? I mean, I guess I have to say indigenous people now, right? The yeah. like where they have, some of the things now when I look back, I'm like, oh, that wouldn't really be very acceptable today.
Yeah,
like, they wouldn't let we have feather hats on, like, you know. Yeah.
Or like turning a rave dance into like a musical number.
I know. And like they came up with their own names. But yeah. Oh my God, I love that movie so much. And I always wanted to make, like, I loved when they would get stuff from the, like, on the sand and like add it to their collage on the wall. Aww. And then it was complete. Oh my God.
It's really hard with older movies. Like Peter Pan's my favorite like animated Disney movie. Uh-huh. But like obviously like the Native American portrayal is very problematic, but it's like do you not, it's like, yeah, this is not the place for this debate, but it's just to bring it up, like, do you not like it anymore because of like that part of it, or do you separate the part? I think it's important to understand why it's not good. I think
right.
That's
I still
important.
That's yeah. The thing, like, I mean, yeah, we could get into this whole debate over mm-hmm. things where people try to cancel things out, but it's like mm-hmm. like, some of it is understandable. Some of it where it's like, I still love Man of the House. If someone told mm-hmm. me, like, you know, well, this scene isn't acceptable now. It's like, I acknowledge it and I know yeah. it, but, like, I still love the movie.
I think, yeah, for me personally, and I think you're probably the same way, like, it's good to understand and educate yourself why this is not good yes. and to watch it and not be like, oh, this is good. This is something I want to emulate. But like, I think you can still enjoy the core of the movie.
Oh, for sure.
People, yeah, may agree or disagree. But yeah, I think it's very important to understand though, like why this is offensive, mm-hmm. why this is problematic and like why people don't like this.
Yes.
You just don't want it to like just go over your head and be like, this is fine. This yeah. is great. Yeah.
Kermit, is that you?
Kermit. Hey! My One Woman Muppet show.
Okay. But so since that was a JTT film, that's why I also didn't put Tom and Hook on, because even though mm-hmm. I like Tom and Hook because it's JTT and, you know, I was all about that, like, he wasn't as attractive in Tom and
no.
Hook. He had like a bowl haircut. And
he was
I
in
really,
love with Becky.
Oh my God, that kiss killed me. It murdered me. I was like, Jonathan, we're getting married. Why are you kissing other women? I don't understand.
Why are you stepping out on me, JTT?
Gosh.
Rachel Lee Cook. We don't all have three names. I mean, I guess you have three names, but I don't. So my next one is Mary Poppins.
Okay,
Mary Poppins.
I knew you would choose that also. And then I was going to be like, well, it's not all live action. It does
That's
have
true.
Animation.
But there's no point where a human being isn't in it. So even in the cartoon part,
right.
there's still humans in it. So it counts. yeah, I mean, I don't need to go into it too much. I think everyone's very familiar with it.
Yes.
Great movie. Julie Andrews won Best Actress. She's great in it. It's a great movie. Innovative movie. Yeah, Dick Van Dyke accent sucks, but like it's still good. it's just like a very enjoyable, fun to watch movie. There are some slow parts, like in terms of
very slow. The bank scene.
Yeah. Oh, the whole bank part. Except I do Ooh. Like the tuppence in the bank. Like,
yeah. Yes.
And I do like in the new Mary Poppins that Dick Van Dyke played the same role.
Oh, because this is like he now looks. Who would have thought, like, back when he filmed this, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. you're going to play this role in the future, but you're going to look like that. Like,
yes, no makeup needed. I love the, like, I love to laugh with the guy who did the voice of Mad Hatter.
Yes.
I can't remember his name. It, like, came into my head and it left. It's just good movie. Innovative movie. There's definitely some parts. If I like, I wish I could just like cut the film right now and I could like cut some scenes out. I actually don't love Feed the Birds. I know that's Walt Disney's favorite song. It's a beautiful song.
That is one of the slow parts of the movie.
It's such a beautiful, like, good song. I will give it that. It's beautiful, but it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
No. And it slows it down. So.
And then that character, I guess, is just in Home Alone 2.
Right.
Which now is a Disney movie, but like when it came out, it wasn't a Disney movie.
Yes.
but yeah, I was watching it. I'm like, oh, it's the same character.
Feed the birds.
I mean, it does have a little bit to do with the rest of the movie in that the son like wants to save his tuppence and it causes the dad to get fired from the bank and they punch his hat. But there's just a lot of things I would cut in that movie, but it's such a good movie. Such a classic.
Iconic.
So beloved. Iconic. There's so many good scenes in it. Really, actually, I like the whole movie until the bank part and the Feed the Birds part. And then, like, let's go fly a kite. So let's just, like, cut from that to that. Step in Time. Let's go fly a kite.
Oh, yeah. Step in Time is, like, I think that's my favorite dance scene in the whole movie.
That's just
or, like,
really
the
good.
Favorite, song.
I love Spoonful of Sugar. I love that. I could sing that right now, but I won't. and I love how like persnickety Mary Poppins is, just like, I am perfect. Yes, I am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she, I mean, it's Julie Andrews. She's perfect. It is.
She's not practically perfect. She's perfect. Mm-hmm. And we all wish we could ride a horse like side saddle like that and just be perfect. And just like shake the dirt off your body.
Oh, Julie.
Okay. So what is your next option before our grand finale?
George of the Jungle.
Oh, I tried watching that the other day and I couldn't finish it.
Jasmine, Brendan Fraser. You wouldn't even watch it for John Cleese's ape?
I do. I love Brendan Fraser, too. And I love Leslie Mann. I need to actually, like, I think I just didn't have time to finish it.
Ursula. That's where that came from.
I love the narration. It's basically, it's Encino Man part two.
It really is. Oh, my God.
But better. It is much better than Encino Man.
I mean, let me just say, I am so happy that Disney Plus kept Brendan Fraser's butt crack. Like, I was so worried for that scene when, like, he was naked. And then she puts the bowl up and he turns around. And I was waiting. I was like, where's the butt crack? Where's there it is. It made it into the film.
Dun, dun, dun,
a mermaid's butt crack didn't make it. And Splash, but Brendan Fraser did.
I guess female form, we don't want to see that, but men.
I mean, because even in First Kid, they show a kid butt crack. I'm like, that so is true.
Oh, I forgot about First Kid. That actually should have been on my list.
I'm
honorable mention First Kid.
That it's was going to be my honorable mention, too.
Okay, so honorable mention First Kid. I love that. That should have been on my list. I totally forgot about that.
Jasmine.
Oh, my gosh. There's so many movies now that I'm like, I would have knocked that off for First Kid. I would have knocked that off for First Kid. I love First Kid so much. Sinbad is so funny in that.
I love it. I love it. Another 90s gem.
It is a gem.
Man, I'm so bummed, though, that they made George of the Jungle 2 because it does not have the same people. And I'm like, this is awful.
And that was on Disney Plus for a while and not the first one.
I know. I was so mad about that. I was like, come on.
I guess nobody wants George of the Jungle 2.
Oh, my God. But yeah, during the dance scene, that's when I was like, ooh, Brendan, I know I'm a child, but I want to dance with you.
It's a JTT Brendan Fraser. No, he's gorgeous. And like, that movie is really funny. And I like the guy who's like her fiance, who's like, I'm going to sacrifice you. I'm just excited about our last one.
Do we say it at the same time?
Well, so I want to preface, we have not told each other our list. We told in advance, Jenny's like, let's not tell each other our list.
Okay, so we're just going to quote. We're going to say the first quote that comes to mind.
Okay, wait, let me make sure I have one in my head because I know I'm going to go blank if I have to. Oh, yes. Okay. 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 Ready? This is a random one, too.
One, two,
two, three.
I'm feeling skinny, Tony.
I'm feeling skinny, Tony. I knew you were going to say that one, but for some reason in my head, I just got, look, a deli meat. Heavyweights.
Yes.
The best Disney movie. So actually, this might be my number one. If I had to pick one, I just love Heavyweights so much.
It's seriously so good. And again, probably a movie that would not be made today.
No.
But I mean, it's a Judd Apatow film. Ben Stiller like has the same energy in this as Dodgeball. Like,
so it's basically part one of Dodgeball. Like that character went on to Dodgeball. It's the same character.
Oh,
Perkisize. Tony.
So
Buddy!
Buddy! <I'm working>.
Go watch it now if you haven't seen it. It is the best movie. It's about a teenage boy's fat camp.
Yeah.
And as a like fat person, there's no movies about fat people, definitely none about fat girls, but at least there was this. This is all I had. And it was like very relatable. And like any actor who was chubby was in this. Mm-hmm. Like Kenan Thompson was in it. The guy who played Goldberg, whose name escapes me right now. It was just so good. Like classics upon classics. Fattest boy in camp. So the movie's about like this kid goes to fat camp and it used to be owned by like this nice couple and kids actually like love the camp.
Hi.
And it was Ben Stiller's real life parents. And then it gets purchased by Ben Stiller's character, Tony Perkis, and he wants to like make it an infomercial place. And he's very cruel and abusive. And like, it's just, and then
get off the
guy, The guy who plays the lead, like the lead adult, he's supposed to be like 28. Yes. He looks older than we do now. And we're quite a bit older than that. And I watch it now. It's not like, oh, when you're a kid, you thought. I watched it now and I'm like, there's no way that guy is like 28. Like, yeah. Because he said, like, oh, for the last 10 years. And so, like, that meant he started at 18. I forget how I figured it out, but it was like.
I mean, but he could have because, like, I feel like counselors at camps.
Yeah.
I mean, because you can even be a junior counselor and be in high school.
Well, yeah. Like, there was that blonde kid who was, like, one of the counselors who was just like, oh, I love the part where they order all the food. That's the theme in all these movies. I just like scenes with food. So there's like, they've been on a diet for so long and then they like, they capture Tony Perkins at Perkins and they like order all this food and it's just like they all have their shirts off and they're just like it's an orgy of food for lack of a better term. It's so good. That's another movie where it like ends and then there's a whole nother scene, like a whole nother portion.
Yeah.
So like you'd think it end, spoilers, there's, you know, defeating the bad guy. But no, then it continues on. They defeat the bad guy and then there's a whole nother chapter.
I just love too how like Tony's trying to shame the boys, but like, we're going to have a dance with pretty hot girls that are skinny.
And then they all dance. I love the kid who was the theater kid who had the beret and the Les Mis shirt on. And then there's a little British kid. It's a chocolate. And then the chocolate kiss. He's like, delicious.
Just like when Tony's pointing out the audience and he's like, I see the future president of the United States. He's British.
Nobody's seen more butts than you, Uncle Tony. It's just such a good quotable movie. It's like, imagine if Judd Apatow made a movie for kid, like a PG movie. This is it. It's so funny. Good. It's so good. It's like irreverent, but it like has a good heart to it. Of course, there's the hot nurse character because they couldn't have any big women in it. That's not allowed, but all the plus size. And I just wish they would make more movies. They would never make a movie like that now because they'd be like, oh, it's unhealthy. It's encouraging unhealthy behavior. But
oh, yeah, there's no so way good. Something like that would be made at all. But at least we have the memories. We have the and movies.
And again, 90s. Like the whole ending, all the camp characters dress like Native Americans, but
yes,
oh, that's not okay.
Well, I sure. I do want to say my honorable mention that kind of goes with this movie. Even like, okay, so it's the first family film under the Disney Hollywood Pictures umbrella, or you know, under the Disney umbrella with that. But it's Camp Nowhere.
So, oh yes.
So it's like, I mean, same, you don't have to really same talk movie about with
skinny
it,
kids.
But, yeah, exactly. Jessica Alba, like
yeah. I mean, if we're gonna go with anything produced by Walt Disney, Rushmore, my favorite movie of all time, is a Touchstone picture, and that was owned by Disney.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, if you take away one thing from this whole podcast, watch Heavyweights. Go watch it right now. Please. It's on Disney Plus.
Please.
It is so good and so funny and so 90s, but just perfect.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
I forgot about the end part where they're like, name three presidents. And he's like, Abraham Lincoln, sure. And there's like a lot of actors who like, there's like this one guy who plays the cameraman. He's in a lot of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah.
Like you'll see a lot of people like that where you're like, oh, it's this person. It's this person. Paul Feig, who's now like a famous director, he plays the guy who was fat and lost weight. And all the kids make fun of him.
He has like a crop top on, right? We need to bring back male crop tops.
Crop tops, like Kevin and Daria wears a male crop top.
Yes.
The Apache relay, and then they have to like go in go-kart, and I love I did not send you to go-kart camp. And he says it with that diction. It cracks me up. But yeah. Okay, do we have anything else we want to talk about, or is that all of our movies?
No, I mean, I don't, we have to end it on Heavyweights, like,
yeah, that I knew we were gonna both have that. I knew it because we both love that movie so much. Mm-hmm. Feeling skinny, Tony. We're working on the body system.
Body!
Go watch it now. Go tell us how much you loved it. It's great. This is basically an advertisement for Disney Plus that we did not get paid for. So Disney, your move. Mm-hmm. So thank you for being on, Jenny.
Oh my gosh, thanks for having me.
A special thanks to our patrons, Aaron, Mandy, Tori, Sean, Jennifer, Tiffany, Valerie, Jenny, Wynette, Lauren, and Danny. Please visit our website at www.1313harborthepodcast.com. You can email questions and episode requests to 1313harborthepodcast@gmail.com. Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcast.
So thank you for listening, and to all who come to this happy podcast,
welcome! I'm being Skinny Tony.
Skinny Tony!
I don't know why I did such a weird accent.